Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thin low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
And now you'll find more ways to save on your favorites. When you download digital coupons, you can use up to 5 times in one transaction. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Looking for fine jewelry for that special occasion? Look no further than James Gaddis Jewelers. Hi, this is Jay Gaddis, and for over 60 years, my family has been here for Memphians on every occasion. Specializing in engagement, bridal, and custom design, we're here to make your dreams come true. Depend on us for birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's, or any day in need of a smile. We have an extensive selection of gemstone, diamond, and pearl jewelry, watches, and designer pieces. Shop local at Poplar near Mendenhall in the heart of East Memphis. James Gaddis Jewelers, your family's jeweler.
Hockey and basketball fans love scoring in nets, but what else do they have in common? A chance for an easy 100 from BetMGM. Register for the King of Sportsbooks and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Grizzlies or the Mavericks, and if either team hits a three, you win. Simply sign up using bonus code RIGHT100, W-R-I-G-H-T-100, when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Maybe you have more in common with table tennis fans. No matter your sport, BetMGM is where the stakes are always raised. Enjoy innovative parlay selection features, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code RIGHT100, W-R-I-G-H-T-100, to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on either the Grizzlies or the Mavs to hit a three. Must be 21 years or older. You must be present in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
This season's hottest collection is dropping to a dinner table near you. Meet the new Golden Standard, Church's new Texas tenders, accessorized with butterfly shrimp. Snag your Texas tenders and shrimp meal for just $5. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Encore flavor.
Corky's is your home for authentic Memphis barbecue. Our dining rooms are open, or stop by our speedy drive-thru. Order your party packs today, starting at only $5.99 per person.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. I hope you weren't one of those people who were tweeting or Facebook, but just saying in general, we're never going to see Justice Winslow play. Because if so, wrong. We finally saw him play. Not going to pretend it went well, but, like, you haven't played in a long time, Big Bet Bennett.
It's been a while, yeah.
What'd you expect? Justice Winslow did return to the court this weekend for the Memphis Grizzlies. It was in a shorthanded loss, but Grizz back in action tonight down in Dallas, playing Luka and the Mavericks. We'll talk about it all momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 4:20, Drew Hill is going to join me. He covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphis. I'll ask him about Justice Winslow, about Ja Morant's shooting percentages, about the Grizzlies in general. Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian, he's going to be here in the next segment. When I finish that, I will take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Tigers returned to practice this weekend. Penny Hardaway talked to the media earlier today. I'll tell you what he said about the schedule. We'll do it around 4:44. Cam Newton was heckled. Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, number one pick in an NFL draft, MVP of the NFL, Super Bowl participant Cam Newton was heckled by a high school football player this weekend. What's going on in this world?
Yeah, that was.
How do we get to a point where you think you can talk wild to somebody who is as accomplished as Cam Newton? First off, you can talk wild to an adult who's like, I don't know, 6 inches taller than you and 100 pounds heavier than you. Like, I'd just stop right there, whether they're accomplished or not. But I don't know what was going on with this young man talking crazy to Cam Newton. He has subsequently apologized. We'll talk about it a little later on this hour. Ryan Saunders last night became the first NBA coach to be fired this season. Done in Minnesota, and his replacement is a bit of a surprise. Damian Lillard does not approve. I'll get into this controversial move just before 5 o'clock. And congrats to Max Homa. Won the Genesis Invitational at Riviera yesterday in a playoff over Tony Finau, and he did it after missing a 40-inch putt for the win on 18. My God, would have been brutal if he lost that tournament at home after missing that putt. I'll tell you more about it during four notable stories, 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, is just like always, then I will eventually. Dinner to go, and then we'll get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I want to start by just saying hello to Benadol. Hey, Benadol.
Man, what's going on?
Good to
see
you.
I feel like I hadn't seen you in a month.
Man, it's almost been.
I think it has been a month,
like,
right?
It has been a long time. For people who don't know, and I didn't really talk about it this time as much as I talked about it last time because, frankly, I ain't got nothing new to say about it. But we, at some point early this month, had another positive test in our home. Everybody's fine. But to be responsible, good, we went on a family quarantine again.
Sure.
And so I was stuck doing the show from home. And I think I was actually eligible to return, according to CDC, eligible to return to the studio right when it started icing everywhere.
Yeah.
And then that was a whole deal. And then maybe I could have come back last Friday, but I was like, you know what? I kind of like not coming to the studio.
Nah.
I'll just make my triumphant return on Monday. So I'm back now, and I swear to you, Big Bet Bennett, about four different times today where I almost text you to just say, tell Skip to get it all set up. I'm just going to do the show from home. Like you,
if it comes easy, yeah.
Well, it's just like, I mean, it really – think about this. You know how everybody freaks out about daylight savings times or daylight whatever time because you lose an hour, you gain an hour? Not coming to the studio, I gain an hour every day.
Yeah.
I get an hour. Like, I it's 30 more minutes to prep, and I'm home at 5. Like, all right, rep your hood. It's 5:57, and I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting like an hour. And you said that you weigh that against the negative of not being in studio. A, I don't get to see your pretty face. B, there is just a little bit of a delay on the remote equipment when you're talking to somebody, just a little bit.
Yeah.
So you don't want to interrupt too often.
Right.
Because it can get sort of lost in the back and forth. But the drawbacks are small, and the gains are, they feel significant. And so I was like, it's Monday. Maybe I'll just do the show from home again today. But I said, nope. I'm going to drive into studio. It's the first time I've driven more than 3 minutes in like a month.
How was it?
It was fine.
Yeah, it's all gone now.
It was like riding a bike.
Yeah.
You know, I got back into the car. I knew exactly what I was doing. So it's good to be back in studio. I say that now. I just feel like I have a certain different energy as opposed to sitting alone in a room in my home in the dark. At least now I'm sitting in the dark with you. So nice to be back in studio. I did want to start on the Memphis Grizzlies. They're going to be back on the court, like I mentioned, tonight, playing Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. Going to be down in Dallas. Jessica Benson going to have pregame at 7 o'clock right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tip schedule for 7:30, Eric Hasseltine on the call. The Mavericks are listed as 5-point favorites. The total is 231. And the Grizz have played twice since I last talked to you on Friday. They beat the crappy Pistons on Friday night. That was 109-95. And then they rested a bunch of dudes on Saturday night, and they lost to the Suns 128-97. It was the fourth game in five nights, so resting players, it was a sensible move under those circumstances. Anybody insisting otherwise is a silly person. Either way, the loss dropped the Grizzlies back to 500, down to 13-13 overall. They're now 6-9 inside FedEx Forum. They're alone in ninth in the Western Conference standings, just a half game back of the Warriors for eighth. They're only one game back of the Nuggets for seventh, and they're one game up on the Mavericks, who are 13-15, alone in 10th. So this is actually big game tonight. The Grizz can push themselves up into a tie with the Warriors for seventh. Actually, they'd be percentage points ahead of the Warriors for seventh. And they can push the Mavericks down, further away from them, to three games below 500 and a full two games below the Grizz in the standings. So, again, this is an important game on multiple levels, and it'll also double as game two of the Justice Winslow era.
That's right.
In Memphis. Because, believe it or not, Justice Winslow played in a professional basketball game on Saturday night. I saw it with my own eyes. It was his first game since playing 16 minutes for the Heat against the Pacers on January 8th. 2020. That's pre-pandemic, for crying out loud.
Golly. That's hard to imagine.
That's pre-pandemic, the last time Justice Winslow had been on the court. You mean blow your mind even more? Kobe Bryant was alive.
Oh, man.
The last time Justice Winslow played a basketball game before Saturday night. So it had been a while. And if we're being honest, it's fair to say it looked like it had been a while, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, yeah. He didn't look good, and he'll admit he didn't look good. But I was pleasantly surprised to see him out there. I'll say that much.
He played 21 minutes. He was 3 of 14 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, finished 9 points. He was negative 23. Whatever. Here's the only thing that matters. He was out there, and he was moving okay.
Mm-hmm.
He would juggle the ball every once in a while, lose the ball every once in a while. You always hear it. It's almost a cliche. But like most cliches, it's rooted in truth. Like, you can't replicate the speed of an NBA game in a practice. I don't care. And so he looked like somebody who had been working out and getting comfortable and going through workouts and getting comfortable. But then you're in an NBA game, and it's just different.
Yep.
You got guys coming at you in different ways. Everything's moving just a little bit faster. It looked like he had problems sort of keeping up with the speed of the game, just a little bit. But, again, that is to be expected. All that matters is that he was, A, on the court, and he seemed to be moving well. Not making shots, not moving well with the ball, but he seemed to be moving well. He was on the court and moving well and showing at least glimpses of the things that made the Grizzlies want to do this move to begin with, to get him and try to make him an important piece to this core that is rooted in the idea of Ja Morant becoming a star and Jaren Jackson Jr. becoming one of the great second pieces in the NBA. What's interesting is as I was watching it, I couldn't help but think this would never happen in baseball. In baseball, if you are away from baseball for that long, you do not go straight to the major leagues. I mean, that's how you get Yadier Molina at AutoZone Park for a week. Mm-hmm. You know, it almost doesn't matter who you are. Like, if you're Noah Syndergaard, and you, like, when Noah Syndergaard, he had Tommy John surgery. He's a big pitcher for the Mets. They call him Thor. He had Tommy John surgery last year. He's scheduled to come. He's throwing. He's down at spring training now. He's throwing off the mound. But he's not expected to pitch again until late June, July. And I promise you, his first start will not be at Citi Field. It'll be in Double A or Triple A.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, it is just sort of understood you need to get live at-bats outside of the majors before you come back up to the big leagues. Otherwise, you will just get completely overwhelmed because the time away matters, and we would rather watch you get your timing back and your rhythm back and just see live pitching at a Double-A level or a Triple-A level as opposed to we're putting you in a big league game. And if it's going to take you a week to get back to just seeing things the way you used to see them, then like let's do that week away from the big club and we'll bring you here when you're ready. In the NBA, they don't do that too often. They do it sometimes.
Rare.
But it's rare. And I don't know why it's rare now when basically every franchise has a G League affiliate. Now, maybe I can understand why it's rare in the middle of a pandemic. We're living in a different time.
Sure, they're in a bubble, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I get why it wouldn't happen now, but in a larger sense, I don't know. Like, if we're not in a pandemic and the G League team is just playing in South Haven, would Justice Winslow have done a week in South Haven as opposed to just getting thrown right into an NBA game against Chris Paul and Devin Booker?
Well, it is interesting because Chandler Parsons famously wouldn't agree to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think they were – the reason Chandler didn't want to do that is because they weren't sending Chandler down there to get his rhythm back. They were basically saying, we don't know if you can play. So, like, let's go –
we got to see. Yeah, I get that.
Let's go like go try out for the Grizzlies – at the Lander Center. That's essentially what they were saying to Chandler Parsons.
Right.
Like, go down there and let's say, we don't think you can play, but if you want to prove it to us, go down there and go dominate a G League game, and then we'll see it. And he was like, no, I'm not trying out for your team in the G, like, just whatever. So that was a slightly different situation. But I wonder if, in a non-pandemic time, if a perfect comp to the Justice Winslow situation wouldn't result in somebody spending a week in the G League, because that is exactly the way it would work in Major League Baseball. Either way, like I said, he was on the court Saturday night. He moved well. He didn't play well. But if you were expecting him to play well after more than a year away from organized professional basketball, you'd probably set your expectations a little too high. Expectations should have been set, can he get on the court?
Mm-hmm.
And can he move? And he got on the court and he moved well. And so you would assume, at least I assume, that he will be a little better tonight than he was two nights ago, and then a little better after that. And eventually he either will or will not be what he is supposed to be, but you were never going to see all of it in game one, even if game one from a field goal percentage perspective was obviously bad. And the other big story connected to the Grizzlies, if you're just trying to focus on, you know, things that are possibly problematic, would be, you know, John Morant's shooting percentages continue to be bad and continue to go down. Last season, he shot 47.7% from the field and 33.5% from three. Now, through 18 games, it's down to 45.4% from the field and 22% from three-point range, which is obviously not good enough. It's good enough if you want to be really good. I don't know that that's good enough if you want to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a few weeks ago we were talking about John Morant as an all-star. And I'd bet everything I own, or at least I'd bet some of the stuff I own, that that is in his future. John Morant will be an NBA all-star. And I'm not even saying you can't do it with those percentages, but it's much harder to do it with those percentages.
Yeah.
That needs to be improved. 22% from your primary ball handler is... you know, that's pretty rough. And so the question becomes, like, is this a real problem or is this a small sample size? I don't know. But I will say, coming out of college, if there were skeptics of John Morant being worthy of the number two pick, and there weren't many, if there were any, but if there were some, it would have been like, in the NBA now, point guard shoot. Guard, you know, you got to be able to make a shot from that position. And he's a playmaker and passer, not necessarily a shooter. And then he shot it unusually well from three for most of last season. It dipped late, but for most of last season, he shot it surprisingly well relative to expectations. But this season, it's been bad.
Yeah, I can even remember last season when somebody asked Taylor Jenkins about it, and he said, we're not going to mess with the shot this year. Like, we're just going to – we might work on that next offseason.
Right.
And then we didn't really hear much else about it. So it'll be interesting to see if, like, that's the priority. You know, now we're in a pandemic and everything. We'll be interesting to see if that's the priority in this offseason is getting that three-point shot to look better, because it's not a great-looking shot when he takes it,
no,
right?
But, like, I can understand why during his rookie year when he's playing well and you're overachieving and he's making a respectable percentage, you just say, hey, let's not mess with him right now.
Right.
Like, he is about to be the rookie of the year. He has taken our team to a place we didn't expect to be. He has overachieved relative to expectations, even after being the second pick in the draft. Let's just be appreciative of what we got and not worry about it right now. And if it keeps going in, you know, at this rate, like, that's good enough right now. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are now a believer that this 22% isn't just some small sample size, like if Devin Booker were shooting 22% right now, you'd be like, okay, that doesn't matter. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be fine. I remember Bradley Beal coming out of college. If you go look at Bradley Beal's shooting percentages at Florida, his three-point percentage, it wasn't great. And yet, coming out of college, you know what everybody said? He's a great shooter. And you look at the percentage, you'd be like, they were like, he's a great shooter. Okay, mm-hmm. Like the percentages aren't great at Florida, but he's a great shooter. Sometimes you can look at the percentages and you say, oh, that's just a small sample size that is not reflective or representative of this person as a shooter. I don't know that you can say that about Ja Morant. I think he's better than a 22% shooter, but he's not a great shooter under any circumstances. At least that has been a label attached to him. And, again, through this season, at least, he's done nothing to help remove that label. He's instead reminded us all that it existed. And so it may be something they have to address mid-season. This season, because if you're trying to get where you want to go, and I recognize they are 13-13 through 26 games, and that is amazing, all things considered. But if you're going to have your primary ball handler on the court in excess of 30 minutes per game, and the ball is in his hands basically at all times, you're going to need him to be able to more reliably make that shot. Because if he doesn't, everybody's going under every screen. And it just makes everything more difficult for Ja and also everybody else. He is so gifted that he can still play make when people go under screens, but you do not want other teams committed to going under every screen, every ball screen that's set for your point guard, because it just makes everything harder. This is simple stuff. In basketball, you got to make people pay for going under screens. And right now, Ja Morant, he's I don't want to say can't make them pay. I can just point to the numbers. He hasn't been making them pay. Hopefully that changes soon. And by soon, I mean tonight. Drew Hill's up next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Steve is in Memphis. You're on ESPN Radio. Who's your team and best and worst case scenario for them?
How you doing? First of all, I just want to say, man, thanks for taking the call. Great show, guys. I know you haven't been on that long, but y'all are really setting the mark high, man.
Thank you.
Second of all, 49ers fan, man, all the way. The worst case scenario for us would be another year of Jimmy G. I just can't stomach it, man.
KJZ, weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It may be cold outside, but your deals keep getting hotter and hotter, Jeff. Hey, let's conquer the cold and gear up for winter with the Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah President's Day sales event.
We got you covered, Randy. Let's talk. 2021 Kia Forte, $133 a month lease. 2021 Kia Soul redesigned inside and out, $149 a month lease. And a 2021 Kia K5, $182 a month lease. All just 36 months, $3149 due at signing.
That's what I'm talking about, Jeff. Plus, every Gossett Kia on Mount Moriah comes with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia on Mount Moriah. 2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com.
All 36-month leases, $31.49 due at signing, zero security deposit, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, $6.50 acquisition fee, Forte, ME319038, MSRP 20,625, Soul, M7755638, MSRP 20,660, K5, MG005560, MSRP 25725. Include all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF 695, excludes tax filing license. With approved credit, see dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 3121, dealer stock only.
If you're a first-time buyer, finding your first real home can feel like this.
Hot property.
Not going to last long.
Multiple offers.
30-year fix.
We need earnest money.
But a realtor has the expertise to strip away all the noise and focus on what really matters to you.
You're going to love this place. Great neighborhood. School is walkable. It even has a huge yard so Henry can practice his penalty kicks.
Finding the right place starts with you and a realtor with the expertise to make sure your voice is the only voice that matters. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
With the iPhone SE for $49.99 in-store from Cricket, Cody can experience more.
Could I record a good video?
Don't be coy, Cody. A $49.99 iPhone SE could turn your vision into a cinematic masterpiece.
I was going to record my daughter at dinner. She throws her peas.
Ooh, an action scene. There's more to love for less with the iPhone SE. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Limited time offer. New accounts only. Must bring your number to Cricket on a $60 a month voice plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. But not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live your life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like life.
Keeping ourselves and our family safe. Never been more on our minds than it is right now. And the best way to do that is with Germ Ready. It's a brand new hand sanitizer that is made right here in the United States of America in an FDA-approved facility. It only takes 30 seconds to apply properly, and it kills 99.99% of all germs. Here's the best part. It doesn't just stop there. It kills germs for up to 6 hours after application. Why is that the best part? I think for obvious reasons, but if not, let me give you an example. You pull into a grocery store. You put on your hand sanitizer that's not germ ready, which is your first mistake, and then you got to carry it with you. And you grab a carton of milk, and you need to sanitize again, and you pick up some chicken drummies, and you got to hand sanitize again. It's just constant sanitizing your hands. With Germ Ready, you don't have to do that at all. You apply it once, rub it in for 30 seconds. You're set for up to 6 hours. You can leave that bottle in your car. You can go buy a bottle right now at Amazon.com. I'm not telling you to go to some store in Collierville or South Haven or anywhere in between. You can go to Amazon.com. You're an Amazon Prime member. It is available to you. They'll bring it right to your door. Go into the search engine, type Germ Ready Hand Sanitizer. It'll pop right up. Be confident. Stay protected with Germ Ready on the web, germready.com. Penny Hardaway spoke to the media earlier today, talked about what the upcoming schedule might look like, or at least what he hopes it looks like. We're going to get into that in the next segment, but right now, he covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. It's Drew Hill making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Drew, obviously on Saturday, the debut of Justice Winslow was the biggest development, and we will talk about that momentarily. But another development was Ja Morant once again missing more shots than we would like. He is now shooting 22% from three-point range on the season after going 0 of 2 from 3 against the Suns. He was 5 of 12 from the field in general. So his field goal percentage lower than last year, three-point percentage way lower than last year. Is this just 18-game small sample size or something to be concerned about?
It's in between those two things because – of course, you'd like him to shoot better than 22% from three-point range, and he's in the bottom percentile of point guards when it comes to three-point shooting this year, like the very bottom. He's there with Markel Fultz. So, I mean, obviously, that's a little bit concerning. It's not a great sign. I don't know if he's a 22% three-point shooter all the time. Like, I think his numbers are probably, on average, going to be a little bit better than that. Is he 35% three-point shooter like he was last year? I guess it doesn't really look like that either, so maybe the truth lies somewhere in the middle there. But he's also taking a lot of threes where the shot clock's running out, and it's kind of a garbage time possession, and he's throwing a three-pointer up there. So I think that kind of brings his numbers down a little bit as well. I'm still concerned because if you look at some of the best point guards in the league, they all have an ability to shoot, and there's a little bit more longevity, I think, to that, a guy that can be a knockdown three-point shooter versus somebody who relies so much on their athleticism. Now, Ja's 21. He's got a lot more years in him. But I think, you know, long-term, like, being able to shoot is incredibly important, especially later on in your career. So I'm moderately concerned, but I'm not completely concerned. And again, He's 21 years old. I don't know if he's truly a 22% three-point shooter. He's probably a little bit better than that. But is he a 35% three-point shooter like he was last year? I'm not so sure.
It should be noted that Russell Westbrook won an MVP in 2017, being a primary ball handler who shot 34.3% from three. Now, the game has changed, like, in the past 4 years. That seems like a long time ago now. But I don't think being a 34-35% three-point shooter like Ja was last season will keep you from being great. We have some evidence that you can be great, MVP-level great, even while doing that from the backcourt. But 22% is that's a deal-breaker. I mean, you got to at least get up into the mid-30s playing basketball the way basketball is played in the NBA today. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. And I would say that part of the reason why it's concerning is not is because this whole offseason, part of his focus was that shot and getting better as a three-point shooter. So you would imagine he threw up a bunch of three-pointers during the short offseason and really tried to work on that aspect of his game. Now, he didn't acknowledge it. Like, Ja Morant is ultra-competitive, and so to acknowledge a weakness for him is a big no-no. He doesn't really talk about that kind of thing. He says, I worked on everything. But you'll hear him hint, like, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to get my jump shot better. And so far this season, that just hasn't been the case. That doesn't mean he's been a bad player. Obviously, he's been really good. And he had a really good stretch before the last game where he kind of had a little bit of a clunker in the loss to the Suns, but that's kind of expected in a game that they're basically punting on. But he played really well in those four games before that. It is just a little bit concerning that it feels like the number one area of focus this offseason, it just really hasn't developed this year.
Talking to Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. When he says, I'm going to get better or I'm going to work on my shot to try to get better, does that mean going in and getting up 1,000 jumpers a day in the offseason? Or does that mean actually changing the shot? Because if the shot in and of itself is not what it needs to be, I mean, I've been around coaches enough to know, like, they'll tell you, if you're getting up 500 shots a day, but you're releasing it at different places and the form is not, you know, where it needs to be, it doesn't matter how many times you shoot in a day. Like, you'll never be a good shooter, you know, shooting it from all over the place. You have to have the proper form, and it has to be replicated over and over and over again. That's where shooting 1,000 shots a day comes in. So do you have any insight into, is it actually addressing the mechanics of the shot, or just like, let's get a whole bunch of shots up and the more we take, the better we'll get?
I think it's both. I do think that they are working on the mechanics. I mean, that's part of their job as an NBA team. I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to gauge because we've seen a number of different guys who have funky shots improve. Like, we saw Kyle Anderson has a really weird shot. It's just very weird. There's a hitch to it, but it's going in this season, and it looks better. And he has the stats and the track record to back it up now at this point that he is an improved shooter and he is better and he's got a healthy shoulder. Brandon Clark's shot went from weird to looking even more weird this year. And so I guess the Grizzlies don't exactly have a history of turning these guys into players with super pretty form, but they have improved as shooters. So I'm sure they're doing tweaking to Ja's shot to try and get him and make some more. But I think a lot of it too is get in the gym and get a lot of shots up, because during the season and in these games, he's not taking a lot of three-pointers. I mentioned he's at the bottom in terms of his three-point percentage, but he's also in the bottom percentage of point guards that are attempting three-point shots. So I think it's a combination. I think it's somewhere in the middle there. Yeah, he's probably getting a lot of shots up. They're probably tweaking his shot, but I don't know if they've made any major changes yet there.
I'm talking to Drew Hill. He is the Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. He's on Twitter at @DrewHill_DM. I mentioned Justice Winslow. He debuted on Saturday night. It was his first game in more than a year since January 2020. Played 21 minutes. The shooting percentages are what they are. 3 of 14 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. Did grab 7 rebounds. What did you think of what you saw from Justice Winslow in his debut?
It was not the fairy tale. I wrote that it was not really the fairy tale return that Grizzlies fans wanted. I thought he was set up for failure to a degree, to be honest, because the wait has been so long and it's been so quiet throughout the process, and there's been so many questions swirling around the entire situation from the beginning, that I think it was really easy for just about everybody, Grizzlies fans, media, everyone included, to lose sight of exactly what Justice Winslow is. And that was a 9 point per game score on the Miami Heat, averaging 9 and 5 or something around that mark. And we've kind of nailed him down as another piece of this core, like potentially a third piece to alongside John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And I just think we have a really long way to go before we figure out what Justice Winslow is exactly. So I thought he was somewhat set up for failure, because if he doesn't come out and doesn't have this huge game and leave this great impression, then fans are immediately going to look at him and go, well, you know, that wasn't worth it. That was, you know, that trade was a bad trade. Well, we don't know that to be the case. The guy hasn't played a game in 13 months. He didn't shoot the ball well. Of course he's rusty. You would expect him to be rusty at this point. So I'm trying not to overreact to one game. Starting 0-for-9 is tough. Like I felt bad for him a little bit, because some of that's just crappy luck that you're going to go 0-for-9 in an NBA game. If you're an NBA player, somebody's going to make at least one out of 9 tries. So I'm sure some of that was just a little bit of bad luck and getting back into the flow. But to me, it just felt like the expectations have been too high for a while now. And so I'm just trying to take it a little bit slower and give it some time for them to figure out exactly how they're going to use him and what type of player he's going to be.
I understand we're in a pandemic now. You know, the Hustle aren't playing in South Haven, so this is a different deal. But do you think in non-pandemic times, because in the opening segment I sort of compared it to how baseball players are brought back up to the big leagues, and I don't care if you're, you know, Trevor Bauer, a reigning Cy Young Award winner, if you were away from the big leagues for a year, for 13 months, your first start in professional baseball when you resume pitching is not going to be in the big leagues. It'll be at AA. It'll be at AAA. That's how you end up with Yadier Molina spending a week at AutoZone Park. Like, the Cardinals are not going to just throw him right back into a big league game. Do you think in non-pandemic times the Grizzlies would have, if it were possible to just send him to South Haven for a week and let him get some run down there, that they would have handled that way as opposed to throwing him right into a game with Chris Paul and Devin Booker?
Sure, I think that's kind of the case. As long as Justice would clear that, which, I mean, he seems like he's a smart guy and that would benefit him. And if he thought that was going to benefit him and there wasn't a bubble and a quarantine period and everything else, I think that would have made a ton of sense to let him get some run before you throw him in the fire. He did mention kind of being pushed in the fire and having to guard Devin Booker right away in his first game, because he's used to guarding, you know, some of the best players in the league based on his position. He's guarding Devin Booker. He's guarding LeBron James. He's guarding all those types of guys based on his size. That's, again, it kind of goes back to how that was just an extremely tough ask of him. And I will say, it did feel like, to a degree, that the Grizzlies were trying to put him into a good situation, because they're resting three guys. They also have Dylan Brooks out. So they basically have four serious key rotation players who weren't playing in that game. They had punted on that game before it even started. So at least you're not worried about, okay, if Justice goes in there and starts 0-for-9, it's going to cost us the game. Because they essentially just threw their hands up and said, we're not winning this game, fourth game in 5 nights. Like, we're just going to rest our guys and get ready for Monday. So I guess you're throwing him into a more low-pressure situation there, but it's still against the Phoenix Suns, a sure playoff team, and against, like you said, Chris Paul and Devin Booker. It's just a tough ask all the way around.
I'm wrapping up here with Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. Last thing before I let you go, Dylan Brooks out tonight. How serious is that, and when do we expect him to maybe play again?
Not serious. There's no concern that that's going to be a long-term thing. I would probably expect that he's back within the week, or I would hope. That's when I would start, you know, asking more questions. But for now, the word is not serious, not concerned that it's a long-term thing at all on Dylan Brooks. And so he's day-to-day right now, but I wouldn't expect anything long-term there. No Justice Winslow situation with Dylan Brooks. It's just a minor thing with this thigh, so that's good news. And I've got a question for you because I listened to the Germ Ready ad on the way in.
Sure.
On the phone.
Yes.
If I put a couple of squirts of that Germ Ready in my water, does that mean that I can drink it?
You know what? I don't feel comfortable telling you yes live on the radio for legal purposes. But I would say get a bottle in your hand, and then you do with it whatever you see fit. But the most important thing is to get a bottle in your hand. And when I say only one pump, I mean only one pump. If you do two pumps of Germ Ready, you got too much Germ Ready. It really, I know some hand sanitizers, you think you need to double pump. With Germ Ready, it's just one pump in your hands, rub it in. And for your water, if you want to try that, and again, that is totally up to you, I would also recommend just one pump. But that's up to you.
Well, I'm pretty sure didn't a former president of the United States like mention drinking bleach or something? I feel like this might be a possibility. We might be onto something because I still have no water. And if you live anywhere in the city at this point, you're under boil water advisory. So
you know, I mean,
maybe we just found the solution.
Yeah. So you have no water, zero.
Oh, I've had no water from the beginning. I was like the first people to lose. I've had no water for going on.
You know what? I'm
going to
stop complaining. I mean, I still can't dry my clothes, believe it or not. My dryer is still in need of a heating element. Should be resolved tomorrow. And that stressed me out. I haven't been able to dry any clothes for a week. But, like, whenever I want water, it's there. Like, I took a shower this morning, you know? Like, I'm going to stop complaining. I've got it pretty good relative to Drew and anybody else who doesn't have water. Man, like, so how are you getting by? I mean, you gotta take a shower. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. So my girlfriend has running water, so I've been able to go to her house whenever I need to take a shower.
Thank God you found her.
And then to use the bathroom, now that's the problem. Like, you gotta go somewhere. And when you gotta go, as you know. So you go to the FedEx Forum, you can go at the game, like, or you try and walk around and find somewhere that's open that has a bathroom. I mean, that's the crappy part. Like, otherwise, you're just dumping bottles of water. Like, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you have to use the bathroom. Like, I'm not trying to sound too gross on the radio, but, like, you're pretty much stuck, like, either trying to flush your pee down with some bottled water or, like, peeing down the sink. Like, those are your options. They both suck.
I mean, do you are you in a situation, like, if I needed to go in my backyard and pee, I could do it whenever I want to. Do you have, I know you live downtown, do you have a, like, is there a place where if you needed to go pee in the middle of the night, you could go pee in the middle of the night other than your sink?
Yeah, there's a bathroom downstairs that's, like, kind of open and closed. And they have enough water pressure downstairs where they're letting you take a shower. If you schedule it, you can take a shower in one of the vacant apartments.
What in the world?
And so now everybody's like, you line up to get your shower in downtown Memphis.
What?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It sucks.
You know what? I tell you, when I initially moved to the suburbs, I missed downtown Memphis, but not today. I don't miss it today. I'm looking forward to my next shower. Hang in there, buddy. If there's anything I can do to help you, let me know.
All right. Sounds good. See you, Gary.
Take care. Bye-bye. I got a guest bedroom. You know, like, I let Drew Hill come stay with us.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah, we just sit around. He could pee in my toilet.
Yeah.
Take a shower.
It's been a hell of a week.
What's your water situation?
We have water. And luckily, it was barely coming out of the faucets yesterday.
I take my water pressure so seriously that this morning I got in the shower and my wife got in the bathtub.
Uh-huh.
And she was messing up my water pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't say anything to her because I'm trying to be nice.
Sure.
But, like, there was a part of me that wanted – here's what I wanted to say. Could you not have just let me get out of the shower before you got in the bathtub and let me have my – let me enjoy my water pressure?
Mm-hmm.
So I was slightly aggravated about a minor level down of water pressure this morning because my wife was trying to bathe at the same time I was taking a shower. That's where I was this morning. And here's Drew Hill. He got to schedule a shower. What? Yeah, so for, schedule a shower.
For us, it's luckily we can take showers, which is good, but you're not supposed to ingest the water, which I like. I like
ingesting water.
I like our Memphis water, and I like to drink it out of the faucet, and I can't do that. And the big problem is
I enjoy ingesting water.
The big problem is, like, good luck going and finding, like, bottled water anywhere in the city limits. Like, you can't find it anywhere. I went to Kroger this morning at about 7 a.m., and there was, like, one big pallet left, and people were grabbing them up. I was able to get a case, but, like, it's flying off the shelves.
You should come on down to Hernando. Yeah. We got all the water you want.
Yeah, boil your water, folks. Don't ingest it.
We don't have to boil water down there. We don't have to. I got water.
Yeah.
If you need some fresh water, Bennett, you let me know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I might take you up.
Would
on
it
that.
Be helpful, honestly? Like if I brought you
some water,
like I could bring you like a cooler of water.
No, it's okay. Because again, like we're good. We could take showers. We could wash our clothes if we need to, which we're trying not to because they want us to conserve water. So we're trying to postpone.
Hey,
that
I can wash your clothes if you can dry mine.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, if how about that? You want to exchange laundry?
How about tomorrow? Okay. I'll wash a bunch of clothes and then I'll bring them to you. And
I can run my dryer.
And then you bring me your dirty clothes and I'll wash them for you.
I like this.
We just wash each other. Teamwork.
Listen, you throw in a jug of that Mississippi water and we're good to go.
I'll give you some Mississippi water.
All right.
My dryer's getting fixed tomorrow.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm going to be good by tomorrow, but I'm saying. And we'd have thought about this a week ago. We could have been helping each other.
Yeah.
These are tough times, Bennett.
Yeah, help thy neighbor. Yeah.
We need to help each other, man.
Yep.
Jesus, Lord. Poor Drew Hill, peeing in his sink in the middle of the night.
Been there.
And Drew's a younger man than I am, but like at my age, I have to get up multiple times a night. I have to get up multiple times a night.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just sort of schedule it into my sleep. Like,
I know
I got to get up at 2 to pee. I know I got to get up at 5 to pee.
Ugh.
Like, that's a tough way to live.
Yeah.
I think you could take some medicine for it, maybe.
You don't want to do that.
That's what I think. I think that's probably true. But, like, I get up. I cannot sleep through the night without having to pee.
Dang.
You can?
I can, yeah. But that is a kind of a fear of mine. I don't want that. I don't want to have to wake up multiple times to pee.
Bennett, it's hard getting old, man.
That and kidney stones. I don't want those either.
Ooh, boy. It's hard getting old, I tell you.
Yeah.
You know? One recommendation I was told was, like, you know, if you drank less at night, then you would have to get up fewer times in the middle of the night. And I said, well, that is not a trade-off I'm willing to make.
Yeah, who wants to do that?
I'm not doing that.
No.
Are you crazy? Like, have you lost your mind? So I'll just keep waking up in the middle of the night. But at least when I wake up, I don't have to pee in my sink.
Yeah.
I have to pee right in my toilet. I have lots of toilets. I could just go anywhere and pee,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or I could go outside. I don't have the same problems Drew Hill has found himself enduring lately. But boy, oh boy, I tell you what, if I just have slightly weak water pressure tomorrow, I won't complain one bit.
No, me either.
Because at least I could take a shower whenever I want to. I don't have to schedule it in the bottom of Drew's building. What the? Man, I'm ready. I'm ready for all this to be over.
You and me both.
I'm ready for all this to be over. Whew. Penny Hardaway talked to the media earlier today. He spoke about what he hopes the schedule is going to look like going forward. We'll get into that next. Listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's time, Memphis. Tune in to Fox Sports Southeast and watch your next-gen Grizzlies tonight at 7:30 p.m. when they take on the Dallas Mavericks. Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Fans will want to tune in early at 7 p.m. to catch Grizzlies live. Presented by Ford and your Mid-South Ford dealers. Featuring Pete Peranica, Brevin Knight, Rob Fisher, and Chris Vernon. Check local listings and grizzlies.com for the channel guide.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. DesotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DesotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you're looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients, and needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients, and they're offering Zoom teeth whitening specials with free consultations. So if you're unhappy with your smile, the color of your teeth just isn't quite right, let the Smile Center fix that for you. Appointments are available right now. You can schedule one by calling 901-309-1333. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. That's the Smile Center on the web, SmileCenterMemphis.com.
The President's Day sales event is going strong at Gossett Kia on Covington Pike. 2021 Kia Forte, $133 a month lease. That's less than $5 a day for a new ride. 2021 Kia Soul, completely redesigned exterior and interior, $149 a month lease. And 2021 Kia K5, just $182 a month lease. All 36 months with $3149 due at signing, and they all come with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So let's conquer the cold and gear up for winter in your new Kia from Gossett Kia, 1900 Covington Pike, or online at KiaCovingtonPike.com. Ask for Bobby J. He'll put you in a new Kia today.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 36-month leases, $3149 due at signing, zero security deposit, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, $650 acquisition fee, Forte, ME319038, MSRP 20,625, Soul, M775538, MSRP 20,660, K5, MG005560, MSRP 25725, includes all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax title and license, with approved credit, see dealer for complete details, offer valid through 3/1/21, dealer stock only.
DSC. There are so many razors out there. How do you choose which one's right for you? Well, at Dollar Shave Club, we got you. With a 6-blade cartridge for daily shavers with short hair and a 4-blade cartridge for less frequent shavers with longer hair. Still confused? Well, we put both blades in one new starter box, so you can test drive both. Check out DollarShaveClub.com/ESPN. DollarShaveClub.com/ESPN. And visit DSC at your nearest store. You've got questions, we got answers. Welcome to the club.
Now at a store near you.
Okay, set it down over there and then go to Bay 5.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
We need to keep going to finish.
Like Amir's warehouse. To expand capacity, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber. You walk into your favorite store, go to the razor section. It hits you. So many options. How do you choose? Do I want 8 blades, 10, 50? Does this one need 2 hands to operate? Dollar Shave Club, which is now at a store near you, has got you. They have a premium 6-blade cartridge designed for daily shavers with short hair and a 4-blade cartridge for less frequent shavers with longer hair. The blades are spaced out a little more for easy rinsing. Because more blades isn't always better. I told you, Dollar Shave Club's got you, and they really do. Dollar Shave Club put both cartridges in one new starter box, so you can test drive both, like me. One for my face, one for my head, and it gets me TV ready and looking good. For more info, visit DollarShaveClub.com/Tiki. Again, that's DollarShaveClub.com/Tiki. And check out Dollar Shave Club at your nearest store. You got questions, we got answers. Welcome to the club.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You're looking for the biggest brands in computers. The place to look is Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah Office Park. They got brands like Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus, Apple. Yes, Apple. You want an Apple product? Check Cooper Systems. You can probably get it at a fraction of the price. That phone number is 360-9679. 360-9679. Let me tell you what's great about it is they're not going to get some automated thing. We got to press 2 to do this and press 7 to do that. And then they say, just tell us what you want. You say, I want to talk to somebody. And they say, that's push zero to do so. 360-9679. You can talk to a human. You want to talk to Lee Cooper? You can talk to Lee Cooper. Talk to Lauren Cooper? You talk to Lauren Cooper. You talk to any of the consultants at Cooper Systems, and they'll help you. They'll actually help you find a computer that's perfect for you. How are they going to do that? They're going to ask you some questions. So what are you trying to do with this computer? Are you a gamer? Because then you need to look at a gaming computer. Those are can be pretty expensive. But if you're just somebody who's messing around on YouTube and Facebook and emailing, you don't need to spend $3,000 or $2,000 or even $1,000 on a computer. You can get a computer that does that perfectly for a fraction of the price, a few hundred bucks. So get with Cooper Systems. Explain to them what you're going to do with the machine. They'll get you something that's perfect for you. You're saving money. 360-9679. That's Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. Jeff Calkins will be here little at the 5 o'clock. Right now, though, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So the Tigers returned to practice this weekend. Penny Hardaway met with the media earlier today, and among the things he mentioned was the upcoming schedule that at this moment only has four games left on it. Wednesday against Tulane, at Cincinnati on Sunday, at South Florida the following Wednesday, and then March 7th at home against Houston. But he made it clear he would like to get the Houston game that got postponed added back to the schedule, and he would also like to get the at Wichita State game that got postponed added back to the schedule. Now, will he actually get both of those wishes? I don't know. There's not a lot of time left. Mm-hmm. And trying to cram two more games to make a total of six in what amounts to, because remember, they're not starting till Wednesday. So you go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You got a 12-day period to play six games if you add the Houston game and the Wichita State game back. It's not impossible, but it is a hard ask with travel, and this would all require travel. So I would assume you get one of those games back, not both. And if you can only have one of them back, you obviously want it to be the game at Houston because that's the bigger game, and they need as big opportunities as they can get right now. But I did hear Mark and Jeffrey talking about it on my drive in, and reasonable people can disagree on this. I don't know that there's an obvious right answer, but I fall more in the camp of you need as many opportunities as you can get right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now it all might be a moot point. Like we're basically saying, I think Mark's point was like, you don't want the Wichita State game because you've already got a big win over them and you can only hurt yourself. And that's true. You can hurt yourself if you lose, but you can undeniably help yourself if you win it. I think it might be a moot point. They just might not get that game back anyway. So like, whatever, we don't have to debate it. But if you put me in charge and said, Gary, you can have whatever you want, I want that game back on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Because my fear is that simply playing five more games in the regular season, Tulane, Cincinnati, South Florida, and two against Houston here and there, even if you go 4-1 splitting the Houston games, I don't think that's enough. If you go 5-0 and beat Houston twice, I think that's enough.
Okay.
But here's the issue. Right now Memphis is 3-5 in the first two quadrants with a quad three loss as well. So 3-5 in the first two quadrants, they got a quad three loss, they have no quad one wins. So let's say they actually, let's just play this out. 4-1 in the final five games after adding another Houston game, you split with Houston. Well, there are only three opportunities that fall inside the first two quadrants. It's the road game at Cincinnati and the two games against Houston. So you win at Cincinnati and then you split with Houston. Now, instead of being 3-5 in the first two quadrants, you are 5-6 in the first two quadrants with one quad three loss. Now, without context, that doesn't mean anything. So the best way to try to figure out where that's at, go look at Jerry Palm's latest bracket and see who the last team in is. Right now, that's Indiana. Indiana right now is 8-8 in the first two quadrants with two quadrant three losses. They have three quadrant one wins. So they got better wins and they got more good wins, but they also have worse losses and more losses. Either way, this is the point that you need to remember. The last team in the field right now, according to Jerry Palm, is 500 in the first two quadrants with three quadrant one wins to help offset two quadrant three losses. Again, if you play this out, Memphis goes 4-1 in those final five games. They would enter the AAC tournament still one game under 500 and with only one quadrant one victory. I still think that leaves you on the wrong side. And the other thing you have to remember is that at this moment, every projected bracket you see is based on 31 automatic bids going to conference champions and then 37 at-large bids. But as soon as, and I'm not predicting this will happen, I'm just telling you how this stuff can happen. If BYU is a bad example because they would probably be in the field no matter what. If St. Mary's were to upset Gonzaga and become a bid stealer, now we don't have 37 spots anymore. We got 36. Mm-hmm. And if in another league, let's say Belmont is going to get an at-large bid if it needs one, but is projected to be the automatic bid in its league, Belmont gets upset in its championship game. Belmont has to take an at-large. Another team in its league gets that automatic. Now we've just lost another spot. Now we're down to 35. In other words, whatever the bubble seems to be right now, it shrinks as we get closer to Selection Sunday. So based on the number of spots available right now, being under 500 with only one quadrant one win probably wouldn't even get you there. But once the bubble shrinks, you're even further away from it. So that's why I would hope that Memphis could get the Wichita State game, because it's just another opportunity.